From the Word of God, Exodus chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because He has heard your complaints, which are against Him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the morning, in the evening, and bread to satisfy you in the morning. For He has heard all your complaints against Him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for He has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, the flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked. They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, this is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little, but when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. And from chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us tomorrow. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses and Aaron and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands were steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. In the first few months after Israel passed through the Red Sea, and before they arrived at Mount Sinai, where they received the Ten Commandments and beheld God's glory, the Lord taught the people two lessons about how He was going to take care of them, and by extension, how He is going to take care of us and meet our daily needs. Now, the people of Israel were ill-prepared for the desert, for the trek to what would become their new home. The sand and the limestone became like an oven under a blistering sun, and they quickly ran out of food and water. They're 45 days out into the wilderness, and they are parched and famished. The water that was stored in their bags that they had picked up in the oasis of Elim along the way had been exhausted. The livestock that they had brought with them had been slaughtered and eaten. And now their lips are blistered and they're hungry and they're thirsty. And once again they complain against Moses for taking them out away from Egypt. And it's the same song they've sung earlier and they'll sing again. You've taken us away from the flesh pots and the bread of Egypt. It had been better to have left us back there. And they've forgotten already. It hasn't been 2 months. Number one, they were slaves. Now they're free. And not only were they slaves, they were making bricks to build the monuments of Egypt. And their toil had been increased because a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph anymore and fears the people of Israel makes their task harder by saying, no more straw will be gathered for you to make the bricks. You'll gather your own straw and the quantity of bricks you make is going to stay the same. And now they're free and they're on their way to a homeland that had been promised over 400 years ago. And they complain, it had been better if we'd stayed back there. At least we had the flesh pots and the bread. And they're no longer singing the songs of praise to God that they had sung as they left Egypt. The timbrels and the cymbals had been clanging and banging and they'd been making the music and they'd been rejoicing and singing praises, and now all of that has stopped. There's petulance blended with panic. Lack of faith has a short memory. Fear of failure causes a quick and easy forgetfulness of past blessings. So what can Moses do? He does the only thing he can do. He does the thing we should do when faced with difficulties. He immediately goes to the Lord and lays it out before the Lord. And then the Lord told him what to do and to provide for the people. And as I said a moment ago, it's the secret of how He plans and will and is taking care of us. His promise was astounding considering the circumstances of the desert. The Lord tells Moses and Moses tells Aaron and Aaron tells the people, you're going to have meat to eat in the evening and bread to eat in the morning. And you're going to be full. And you're going to be satisfied. Now I want you to picture in your mind's eye. You're coming into camp one more night, being hungry, being thirsty. You know you're not going to be able to sleep because the growling of your stomach and the brokenness of your lips are going to keep you awake through the night. And you're hoping for just the very best rest you can possibly get out of this, which you don't think is going to be much at all. And not everybody notices it at first. Only a few, looking back the way they had come, see a dark cloud on the horizon. It's small, but it's coming closer. And the closer and closer it comes, the larger it gets. And they begin to hear a sound associated with that cloud. And it's chirping. It's the chirping of quail. And the quail fly to where they are and exhausted collapse at the feet of the Hebrews. And they gather them up and they prepare them for supper and they light the fires. And they go to bed that night full for the first time in a long time. Now, research has been done into the migratory habits of quail from Europe to Africa, the coast of Africa, the Sinai Peninsula. And what they have learned is that the quail will start in Central Europe. They will fly to Turkey, and there they will fill themselves. They will eat and eat and eat and gather food and gather strength for a quick journey because they're going to take off from Turkey. They're going to fly high and fly out over the Mediterranean Sea and come back in over Egypt. And they're going to land exhausted as they clear the coast. And the Bedouin who lived in that area have frequently made a harvest out of gathering up the quail and been so much so that they've passed a law that says you can't do that anymore. Well, what happens is even more of a miracle because the quail don't stop at the coast. They keep flying inland about 100 miles farther than they normally would have flown because the Lord has told them, my people are hungry and you keep flying your dinner tonight. And instead of landing at the coast, they fly in to where the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, are waiting. God's provision, God's mercy, God's blessing for people in desperate need. And then they wake in the morning. And remember, it's in the desert. And the ground is covered by a frost-like substance. And they look at it and they say, Manu. Which means, what is it? And Manu becomes manna, and that's what they call that white stuff that's on the ground. And the instructions are, go out and gather it up. 2 quarts for everybody in the family. From the biggest family to the smallest family, gather it up. What you need for today, and you're going to have enough. And nobody's going to go hungry because you've got that bread. They've got that manna. You've got the manna there. And a little bit later on in part that we have not read yet, the Bible says it tasted like honey. And legend says it tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. You want a grilled hamburger? You want Chick-fil-A? And every morning except the Sabbath is there. And every day, Sunday through Thursday, you're together one day's meal for the next day. And you can grind it, you can boil it, you can beat it, you can make it into cakes. And don't save any left over for the next day because if you do, it's going to be full of maggots and it's going to be the worst smell you've ever smelled. And then on Friday, the day before the Sabbath, you gather twice as much, and it's not going to be full of maggots, and it's not going to stink. And that manna is there until they cross into and finally take over the land that God had promised to them. And the message is simply this. The Lord will provide on a daily basis what the people need. They would have to accept His blessing fresh every day. There's no stale manna. And the The same is true for us. There's fresh grace for us each new day. That's why Jesus taught us to pray the prayer we prayed a moment ago. Give us today, this day, our daily bread. We can't live on yesterday's inspiration. As the Lord gives us new grace and new exposure to His mercy each day, yesterday's grace, yesterday's mercy, yesterday's blessing is not going to be sufficient for today. We have to open ourselves up each day to the new grace and the new mercy and the new blessing of the Lord God Almighty in our lives. Our task is to relinquish our fears and frustrations, our problems and perplexities, and turn our trust totally to the Lord God Almighty every day. New, fresh grace every day. Now that's lesson number one. God's getting ready to teach them another lesson. Trust God fresh every day. And the second lesson He's going to teach them is, in addition to depending on God, we have to depend on each other. You go back to when Israel came out of Egypt. God fought for them. They go through the Red Sea. The water parts, the mud dries, they go through on dry ground, they get to the other side. Moses raises his rod up again, the water comes back over, and Pharaoh's army that's in the middle chasing them are all drowned. All the chariots are destroyed, all the horses drowned, all the soldiers drowned, and all they have to do is stand there and watch. And on the other side, Miriam, Moses' sister, begins to lead them in a praise chorus. And they worship and they rejoice at what God has done for them. Now God says, we need to work together. And this time, it's different. They're forced to cooperate with God and with one another. He taught them they must be mutually dependent and supportive for His blessings to flow. And it's the battle scene. The Amalekites come. The Amalekites come. Joshua takes a select group out to battle. The instruction to Moses is that, you remember that rod that you dropped and it turned into a serpent before Pharaoh? And you picked it up and it became a rod again. You smote the Nile and it turned into blood again. And then you come to the Red Sea and you hold it up and the waters part. And you get to the other side and you hold it up and the waters go back. That rod, you hold it up, and as long as it's up, Israel's going to be victorious. Well, you can't stand with your arms up that long, let alone with a heavy staff in your hands. And eventually Moses, who's getting on up there now, he's past 80 anyways, his arms become heavy and they sink. And as his arms come down and the rod of God comes down, the Amalekites are winning the battle. He takes a breath, he shakes his shoulders, he holds it back up, and Israel's victorious again. But then he gets heavy and it comes back down. And Aaron and Hur find a stone for Moses to sit on. And they stand one on either side. And they hold up his arms. And the victory's won. And the lesson is, we receive strength from each other. That's why we're here this morning. We receive strength from each other. We're never meant to make it alone. We need each other to win life's battles. Our ministry to one another requires prayer and involvement. The battle is the Lord's, but He chooses to win through our cooperation. So these two events, during the period between crossing the Red Sea and arriving at Mount Sinai, teach us about the way the Lord works in our lives. His grace is given in daily proportion, and we need one another to appropriate His strength. The Lord wants us to discover what He taught the people of Israel. All we have is today. And we're to make the best of that day as if it were our last day and live it to the fullest with His grace new for that day. He offers us fresh grace to meet our specific needs and faithful friends to spur us on. Tell Him what you need. Ask others to intercede for you. Don't depend on yesterday's inspiration or last week's insight. New manna is available, fresh every day. And look around. There's Aaron and Hur, ready to hold up your hands and support you in your battle. Amen.